Hey, let me read you this. I want to get your thoughts. This is St. Athanasius. It's not on our notes tonight. I just want to, like, you've probably heard this story before, but this is like where it comes from. And I just want to get your raw thoughts. It says, Athanasius begged Abba Pambo, whatever is that? Abba Pambo, that's his name. Don't laugh. He's probably in heaven right now.
Yeah, and he was probably like a surly dude. Like a...
Maybe.
Like a swarthy... He's like, call me Abby Pambo one more time.
He's an angry elf. So he begged him to come down from the desert to Alexandria. He went down, and seeing the actress, he began to weep. Those who were present asked him the reasons for his tears, and he said, two things make me weep. One, the loss of this woman. And two, that I am not so concerned to please God as she is to please these wicked men.
Is this the same story where she witnessed his tears for her, and then both of them, I think she actually is a saint.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, they sound very similar, right?
If not, there's another story that's exactly like it, where the most prominent prostitute of the city was being paraded through town,
right?
And one, all of the monks or something,
shielded their eyes,
and he didn't, and he's, you know. What a shame that such beauty is sold to the lusts of men, you know?
Right. But I thought that was very interesting.
But first, to answer your question, first of all, I don't have any raw thoughts. All of my thoughts are polished. Every single one.
Oh.
All the time.
That is good to know.
You're welcome.
That is such...
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting how... He wept obviously for the loss of her,
mm-hmm.
but then also for him that he didn't desire to please God as much as she desired to please the men.
Yeah. What an interesting outlook.
Yeah.
On that scenario.
Because I would not have gone that route.
Yeah. I don't think I would have. That would just not occur to me. That wouldn't be the thing that I thought of.
Right.
So that's the Abby Pambo.
Abba Pambo.
Can you show me his name?
Yeah. I'd love to.
I just want to actually see what this dude is. Abba Pambo. Man, that really is a cool name.
Yeah.
I mean. All right. What do you think? What are your raw thoughts about that story?
Well, it just, again, I think I already said, it's just, I would not have thought, you know, that it's the second half that blows my mind. You know, it's very easy to see, like, oh, you know, my heart goes out for this woman who desperately is, you know, seeking attention in the wrong areas, you know, and desiring to be desired by a finite creature when we're made for the infinite. But that I am not so concerned to please God as she is to please wicked men.
Also, something tells me that might not be true, that he actually may have been more eager to please
God. The fact that he was that holy to where
And it's like, I know you're wrong because only a holy person would say that.
Right.
You're proving yourself wrong here, bro. Abba Pambo.
I wish that I was as humble as you. By you saying that.
Yeah. Dude, if you have another son, you should name him Pambo.
Pambo.
Pambo Minahan.
Mm.
It's got a good ring to it.
Moses Pambo Minahan?
Dude. So for people who don't know, I've been trying to convince the Minahan family, with all these boys they have, to name one of them Moses. Like Moses Minahan. Moses Pambo Minahan does sound like that's a dude who's going places.
He is part and sees, without a doubt.
Picture. Here's Luke, Jude, Leo, and Moses Pambo. What happened? I do always get a big kick out of this. It's very clear when you meet some converts. It's incredibly obvious between which children
they converted.
Yeah, it's like, here's River and, you know, River, Jade, and Augustine, you know?
Right.
Hmm.
How old are you, Augustine? You're four? Okay, so 4 years ago, five years ago.
Something tells me Augustine was baptized at birth, and River and Jade were baptized much later in life.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of funny. But I just find I just find that so interesting. This desire, this deep desire to want God. I've been thinking about this last week. It's just the, like, I just want my mind to be filled with heavenly things. I just want to be thinking about heaven and oriented towards heaven. And I, you know, I fail at it so much, but I just want to be like only thinking about heavenly things, and everything that's good that's happening here on earth is pointing me and orienting me back towards that like our heavenly reality.
Yeah. So I want that.
I totally want to want it.
If I'm honest with myself, I don't want it. Not currently. I want it because if I did want it, then I wouldn't be so easily distracted by all of the little things of this world that end up capturing my attention all the time.
Right.
You know, if I truly wanted that, then I would look at these little things, these fleeting earthly goods that are shiny and, you know, like, catch, you know, take up so much of my attention all the time, I would just ignore those. So I want what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, you know, it's just the battle of life filled with disorders inside of myself, disorders that I continually cultivate that, you know, I need to fight against. And there's no silver bullet. It's not like I can just want it. You know, this, this life of just pleasing God and dedicating. You can't just snap your fingers and want to do that. You can desire to want that, you know. You can desire to desire it, and I do. But it's a lifelong battle to form yourself by God's grace into that person, that saint version of yourself.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is not a silver bullet, but there are a ton of little golden BBs that you can shoot.
Absolutely.
Instead.
Absolutely.
And I'll give you an example. The other night, this was about a week ago before Exodus 90 had started, I was about to fall and headed to bed. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to watch a comedy or something. You know, I was just thinking like, I'm just going to watch a comedy and fall asleep. And like, so I put one on and it was like, yeah, this guy's already, you know, we're like 38 seconds in and he's already dropped the F-bomb. And I'm like, you know.
I just turn it off. It's like, clearly you're not even funny.
It's like, okay.
I only listen to clean comics because they're like, you have other comics, they're just like dropping, using foul language. It's just it's a crutch.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, I haven't ignored the first one. And then I kept going. It's like, you know what? I could be listening to something way better than this, like way better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned it off, and instead I just put on Vespers, and just like it was chanted, and just like fell asleep listening, doing that, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's not what I thought you were gonna say.
But
I put on Vespers and laughed.
No, but. I think it has so much to do with this guard of your intellect and guard of your mind and in your eyes and in your imagination of what are we consuming? What are we, like, what is it that's forming us throughout the day? Is it the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is the thing that in which should form the reality of our day-to-day life?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it all these things that we keep listening to, or these little flashy, ooh, piece of candy kind of things that stir our attention away from like our vocation, what we're supposed to do in this very, very moment. And it's interesting how when things are going well, for me, I can't think about it in the present. I always think about something else, like I go like much broader scope and think about like, oh, well, this is going to happen later. It's not going to be good. Or, oh, I, you know, earlier before was not very good. I don't actually live in the present for that good moment. When things are going bad, I can't zoom out and see, oh, well, maybe this bad thing is actually bringing me closer to Christ. Maybe this is a suffering. I'm dwelling in this moment of badness, you know? Right. And it's so interesting how that works, that your psychology, like, I guess it's psychology. I don't know. Whatever psychology, blah, I don't know. But I don't know. Whatever. I'm not a psychologist. But it's just like, you know, when things are going good, you can't live in that present and appreciate that moment. When things are going bad, all you're doing is just sitting there dwelling in that moment, not thinking about a bigger scope of what God could be doing with this.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. And all of those things, the good things and the bad things, we shouldn't be thankful for our sins, right? But we should be grateful for the trials in life. That's, you know, that's a mark that you read in some people who are like, some of the saints write about this. You know, these are one of those things when you read them, it's like, wow, okay, yeah, I just have so far to go.
Mm, thank you. Thank you, St. Ambrose, as I read this and realize I did not even realize.
I thought we were better friends. Turns out.
Athanasius, you have to pull the Abba Pambo card.
You're like in a whole other country. I thought we were having a nice conversation. You're not even here.
Tonight we're going to talk about anger. So it should be fun. Nice, pleasant conversation.
I'm so mad.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols? Or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Talking about anger today. So if you're feeling unpleasant, this is an episode for you.
We're doing this specifically for you.
Dude. Anger, though, is this is a masculine vice. And I don't mean that in like masculine in a good thing, right? But it's just, this is something that men particularly have, I think, struggle with.
I agree. Yeah, and I think, so what really kind of led me to this conversation tonight, or this topic tonight, was this idea of like, I'm wanting to think of heavenly things, like fill my mind with truth, goodness, and beauty, desiring to think about like, what is it going to be like to be able to be next to Mary, you know, or to see our Blessed Mother? What is it going to be like, to behold the Trinity?
Mm-hmm.
And just be in prayer. And like, you know, sometimes we talk about, there's the joke that Father John Grant here in the Diocese of Tulsa said one time, or that happened to him, you know, when he was a kid, and he was asking, like, you know, what is heaven going to be like? And his dad said, like, well, it's going to be like the Mass. And then he started crying because he thought, you know, as a kid, he was like,
I hate the Mass.
The Mass is so boring.
So I have to choose between going to hell or being trapped in Mass for the rest of eternity?
And he was, you know, obviously upset about that as a little kid, you know. Kid,
it all worked out in the end.
He's a priest.
He's a good holy priest today.
Right. You know, but this idea of just being able to be in prayer in this world, you know, in this reality of beholding and being held,
mm-hmm.
of adoring and being adored.
Yeah, in heaven, it's not even just that, like, oh, we're going to have this, like, loyal affinity for God, you know, because, oh, we just love him because he's so great. I mean, we will, but also we're going to be there, like, in touch with existence itself.
Itself.
Right, so that the source of all reality, we will be there with it. And so it's like this fulfillment of our existence itself, right? That will be this experience beyond anything that we can comprehend.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I was thinking about, okay, so what is it that keeps me from it? And, you know, over the course of my business career, which, by the way, dude, we, I don't know if you know this, like, we're getting old, and our business career sounds a lot older than what it...
I know, dude.
You know, we're 20 years in now.
I know. Don't talk to
well,
me
we're not 20.
Not
quite. I mean, we're 20 years from high school, but...
Yeah.
It's just, like, so weird to say. You know, but I've received, like, a lot of emails, let's say, for instance, over the course of my business career, where, like, if you screenshotted that email and showed other people this, how embarrassed would you be? You know, and you call yourself a Christian man. You know, the thing is, like, you call yourself a Christian, you're outwardly profess you're a Christian man, and then, like, there's some emails that you're getting, you're sending off that are just
to the contrary.
To very contrary. And so, yeah, you get those, you get social media stuff, you get all this stuff that where, because there's this separation of people face to face, it seems like that they're able to harbor this anger towards a neighbor that would
say
not...
Say things to a computer screen, type, you know, that you would never, ever say to someone in real life. You know, either right. because you don't have the guts to say that thing in real life, or because you don't actually even really mean it.
Right. Your passion is just too high.
Yeah.
At that moment.
And it's such a dispersonal. Is that a word? Dispersonal? Unpersonal? I like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go with dispersonal.
Okay.
It's a dispersonal experience. Communication. Electronic communication. It's literally dispersonal.
Yeah.
And so communication isn't supposed to be that way, right? So there's an inherent disorder in electronic communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's synthetic.
Hmm.
And so it creates all kinds of unpersonal behaviors, dispersonal behaviors in the people, you know, it can anyway.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, email is not evil.
No.
Actually, I might change my mind on that. let's just go with that it is email, or that it is evil. And I can't do email anymore.
It's against my religion.
Yeah. Turns out it's evil.
Yeah.
We all knew it this whole time, deep down.
So I'm going to pull some things actually that are not from this kind of a something that we normally do not do on the Man Show, because there's so many beautiful saints with their writings that we kind of go through and extrapolate what they have to say. But I'm going to go through one that is not a saint, is before Christ, but I find it very interesting in his knowledge on the avoidance of anger. And just the way he was able to come to the conclusion. It's just amazing how some pagan philosophers can come to conclusions that they did without divine revelation.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So this one's from Plutarch. I have really enjoyed reading Plutarch.
Great name, too.
Great name. Plutarch Niles has a good ring to it.
Pambo Plutarch.
Pambo Plutarch.
We are really working with some good material here
tonight,
I think.
Yeah. So Plutarch was a Greek historian, a biographer, an essayist, a philosopher.
Juan needs to name a kid Plutarch.
Plutarch Posada.
Pambo Plutarch Posada. Are you kidding me?
That would be great. So he's best known for his works of Lives. Like, it's okay. It's fine. Plutarch, like it's Parallel Lives is what he's best known for.
The name of it is Parallel Lives?
Mm-hmm. He lived in the early Roman Empire, specifically in the regions dominated by a few emperors that no one knows about. But his writings were celebrated today for these rich insights of ethics, leaderships, and human character. And he was deeply interested in ethical and practical philosophy, which I think that's why I really enjoy listening to him, because he starts off a lot of things with an analogy that you don't really know at first that, oh, this is actually going to be part of what he's talking about.
Well, in a lot of, to be fair, a lot of philosophers and philosophy are drawing distinctions between things that nobody cares about or understands. Now, I'm not saying that their work is fruitless. It isn't. But I think people who go to read philosophy,
right?
There's a reason why it has the reputation that it does. Yeah. Because some of it is not thrilling.
Right. But he's really a fun one to read. At least I've enjoyed him so far. So I want to start off, I just want to read this this little bit. This is an essay they wrote on the avoidance of anger. You can pick it up. There's a Penguin classic called Plutarch Essays, and it's really good. The first essay is on listening. Fantastic.
The Penguin classics in general are good.
Yes.
Yeah. They tend to be like good translations. I've enjoyed them.
So he sets it up, and I think it's really cool. So he says, this is like a letter to another guy, right? So it's kind of like a dialogue. He says, this is how he starts off. He says, I think that the painter's practice of periodically examining their paintings before adding the finishing touches is commendable. Continuous familiarity hides the way in which something might vary slightly from what is required. So by interrupting their viewing, they use repeated discrimination to keep the viewing fresh and more likely to catch minor variations. But it's impossible for a person to apply himself to himself only periodically. By separating himself and interrupting the continuality of his self-awareness, that's impossible. And this is the main reason why everyone is a poorer judge of himself than of others. Therefore, a second best course is for him periodically to inspect his friends and to make himself available for them to do the same purpose, which is not to see if he has suddenly grown old, or is his body is in a better or worse condition, but for them to examine their habits and character to see if over a period of time any good features have been added or bad ones subtracted. And then he actually goes into the actual discussion. So he first starts it off with, like, you know how painters, like, they just stop, they'll break away from the painting. They'll paint for a little bit, they'll break away, they'll come back. That way they can see it, you know, kind of fresh.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. And it is, he's right, that assessing yourself is a very tricky business. That's why having a spiritual director.
And friends.
And good friends.
Having good friends.
Yeah, that too.
And I mean, that's kind of where he...
That's why I have a spiritual director.
That's right. Well, you can call me that if you want. But but I thought that was very interesting how he set that up, and is very real, very practical, very like a clear analogy.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. No one wakes up and says like, oh, I'm going to be a mass murderer today.
Yeah. Or I'm going to be angry today.
Or I'm going to commit a mortal sin today. Like, no one, like, wakes up and thinks that. It's this little bit that grows over time.
Yeah.
That dulls your intellect. That, like, weakens your will and your understanding and reason. That you fall off into these habits. We'll be right. We'll talk about this on the side. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talking about on avoidance of anger today, but from Plutarch. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about, like, no one wakes up and becomes a mass murderer, you know, or wakes up and decides...
No sane person, anyway.
Yeah. Or wakes up and decides, you know, I'm going to commit a mortal sin today. But it's the, oh, I started doing this one thing that led to this other thing that led to this other thing that I thought was just fine. And then all of a sudden now I am in the throes of this sin that I had no idea that I was, or that I was not intending on doing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hear that with people who are unfaithful to their wedding vows, you know. Almost never do they set out to, be, you know, to get into a relationship with someone else. It's just kind of things happen little by little. And then before they know it, they say, what am I, you know, how did I get here? What am I doing? You know, and that's because they made little choices of impropriety along the way that, you know, it's like, oh, it's a little bit. Just every time, it's just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the same, this, you mean, pick your sin. And that's typically the story.
Yeah. So he talks about how, okay, so what is anger? It's like this, he talks about the destructive nature of anger. He says, he likens anger to a disease or madness that clouds judgment and leads to irrational behavior. He underscores that anger harms not only the target of the emotion, but also the person who harbors it, consuming their peace of mind and rationality. Which we could all, like, as a dad, you can even take that and understand that, right? How many times have you been irrational towards your child out of frustration?
Yeah.
Where you had to take a step back and realize, like, you know what, that I would not have said that if I was just not, if my emotions weren't that high.
Mm-hmm. If I had been more of an observer into this situation instead of so personally invested, the observer version of myself would have chosen to behave differently.
It's just weird because the emotions, which are a good thing, our Lord gave us emotions for, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But if we let them over, like, run amok, so to speak, it can cloud our judgment so quickly.
Yeah.
And you end up saying things that you regret, or you end up doing things that you regret. This is why it's so important to be able to, like, have, you know, to have a strong will and have a reason, like, where, you know, use your faculty of reason to really assess the situation. Like, this is the importance of prudence, right? This is the importance of being able to be aware and have the foresight of, like, oh, We're about to come to a point where I know that I'm not in a good mood today. So if I go in here and he's doing something crazy, or my wife says something that's just fine, I mean, it's innocent, but it's going to upset me because mm-hmm. I'm just not in a good mood, or my behavior is just a little out of whack today. I'm gonna fly off the handle. And to have that self-awareness to also avoid that temptation.
Mm-hmm. And you can see how it is also sort of like a disease. You know, it's like, oh, you almost like you came home with a cold. You know, it's like you came home with this sickness.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, you know, it's temporary, but nonetheless, you're suffering from it, you know, at that moment.
I mean, there was another day that I just wasn't in a good mood for what... Actually, no real reason. I just was not, I could just tell I was just not in a great mood.
Yeah.
And I just felt myself in that way. And I had to remind myself, hey, listen, you're not in a good mood. So don't say anything to Haley or the kids, you know, that's out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. Did that work?
It did. Yeah. Like, it just, I had to remind myself, like, hey, just proceed with caution here. There's a relationship, I think, between anger and being in the fast-paced world, because when things are happening so fast, you don't have the opportunity to slow down and assess the situation. You allow your emotions to creep in and make the decision because we're moving so fast and we have to keep moving.
You train yourself to be instinctual.
Right.
Yeah.
Which isn't always a good thing.
No. There's a thing that something I think about a lot is from St. Ignatius of Loyola in his Discernment of Spirits. When he's talking about, you know, are you in desolation, in like a moment of desolation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different reasons why you might be experiencing the feelings of desolation. And he says, to become yourself reflecting on yourself, which I think about that a lot, of just imagine, you know, sort of like pulling yourself out and looking at yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay. And just totally, because we take things personally, you know, I mean, I've been in, one time I was in the car just trying to pull out of the neighborhood. And there was just this strange series of cars coming one way and then another way that it was like, Adam, 2 minutes.
I'm just sitting there.
Of me trying to just pull out of the neighborhood. And like, just as I think, oh, there's going to be a gap behind this car. Oh, it's going to turn into the neighborhood here and it slows down. So anyway, I remember like feeling this rage start to build in me with the feeling of like, I don't deserve to be treated this way. And it's like, who? And that was just a funny moment. I was really getting mad, but also like, who are you? Hey, Dave, who you getting mad at, bro? Like, are you yelling at the wind? You know, like, you think somebody is out here like oppressing you just because there happen to be cars kind of coming from different directions?
Yeah.
People just driving down the road.
Living their lives.
You know, like, I don't deserve to be treated like this. So like but to become yourself reflecting upon yourself, otherwise you will just go on with this feeling of, I don't deserve to be treated this. I am being mistreated.
Right.
And you don't even stop to think
mentality.
You don't even stop to think about like whether or not is anyone even mistreating you?
Right.
Which I mean that's so often the case in anger situations that there's a perception of injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stop to think about it, or when someone like kind of breaks it down for you, you see it too in kids, you know, and I'll do this with my children because, you know, they're emotional. And you try to engage their rational faculties,
right,
as a way of repelling anger, you know, suppressing that emotional side with rational thought. But it's, you know, they'll be getting angry and feeling like I'm being oppressed. And it's like, nobody is oppressing you.
Mm-hmm.
I get it that like you don't like the way things went, but you're not a victim.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is just a totally normal thing that happens and you got to get used to it.
Yeah. He said that anger makes lawyers and orators commit great mistakes.
Lawyers and what?
Orators.
Oh, orators. Yeah.
You know, and so he said that Aristotle records that one of his friends blocks his ears with wax when he's in the court in case he messed things up by getting angry at being abused by his opponents. So he would just basically turn things off.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Makes it hard to respond to some of the other points that they make, but, you know.
That's okay.
Look, I'm just going to say what I already have to say. I'm not responding at all to what he said because I didn't hear it.
But I mean, how many times? I mean, this is the truth, right? The great mistakes happen.
Yeah.
When you allow to respond or let somebody get underneath your skin instead of like adjust, like what you said, like maybe you're not being deprived here. Like, what is the situation that's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody when we first started our careers. he told me, like, hey, like, listen, anytime you get an email that you're frustrated by, I want you to write it all out. Just write it. Don't hit send. Wait till tomorrow. Come back.
Mm-hmm.
And read that email. And he said,
and then you'll be so glad.
And you'll be so glad you did not send it.
Yeah.
And he said, like, write it like you'd want, like you would want to send it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that has saved me time and time again. It was some great advice, you know, for my professional career, because I definitely would have sent emails out that would have been embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is good advice, because that's something that's going to happen to everybody. There's mm-hmm. going to be a time, guarantee it, you're going to get an email that is going to be unbelievable to you.
Right. Like, I can't believe this is the angle you took.
Yeah.
In this situation.
Or what you did. And, like, maybe that person did do some things, you know.
Right. A lot of times,
throwing you under the bus with their boss or something.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, but you, yes. Everything depends possibly in resolving this situation and you keeping it under control.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is why he comes to the conclusion, you know, anger is a weakness. Now he's talking about not righteous anger.
Yeah.
Because
obviously there is
yeah.
There is a righteous anger that is not a weakness.
Right. So he says that, he argues that it's a weakness. He stresses that self-control and the ability to remain calm in the face of being, like in the face of provocation, marks true strength and wisdom.
Yeah. Meekness.
Strength under the control. So, anyway, when we get back, he gives a few strategies to avoid anger. And then maybe I get, if you have any thoughts on how you control emotions, polished thoughts.
Got it. Oh, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We are not enjoying a manly beverage today. We're sitting here drinking tea, which is a very unangry thing to do.
Yes.
Very hard to be angry and drink tea at the same time. You know what? There's a great pro tip for you. When you're getting really angry, go have a spot of tea.
I guess, though, if there was some British guy who was drinking tea as he observed all the tea at the Boston Tea Party being dumped out, he could have probably been angry.
Yeah, but he's not going to keep drinking tea. That's the thing.
He might have. He might have just said, you know what? The damage is done.
As soon as I'm done with this cup.
Ooh, but I'm tired.
I'm going to be...
We're going to take a nap, and then we're going to go.
I am just brewing over here.
Just steeping in anger.
Those are tea jokes for you. But really, it is like going to like drinking something, like slowing down, and it does, I don't know, chills you out.
The tea?
Yeah, if it's a hot beverage. But we're not drinking alcohol. We're not drinking manly beverage in honor of kickoff of Exodus 90.
Exodus 90, baby.
It's going so... Dude, I'm having definitely a better Exodus than you so far. I'm much dominating.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I don't think a day and a half, and so far I'm killing it. Really crushing it.
Yeah. We were talking to Father Boniface before his interview with Jamie. And one of the guys said, his fraternity, how it was already, first day is just so cold with the shower. And I was like, oh, what a rookie mistake. The day before Exodus 90, you take a hot shower.
Yeah.
The night before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're good for 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, at least 24 hours.
Right.
That's like the joke I always make, first time doing Exodus 90, you're like, going in day one, like 90 cold showers to freedom, baby. And then after a couple days, you're like, you know what? I realized don't have to shower every day. I didn't. This is something I'm learning about myself. I don't need a daily shower. Every other day, totally fine. And you're like, 45 cold showers to freedom. And then pretty soon you're like, 12 cold showers to freedom.
And everybody's like, please take a shower.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good. It's fine. And just use a washcloth.
Take a wet white bath. Okay, so strategies to avoiding anger. Here's what Plutarch says. He says reflection and self-awareness. He advises recognizing triggers in anger and examining whether they're truly warranted, such as strong emotional responses.
Mm-hmm. Easy to say, so hard to do.
Ridiculously hard to do.
In the moment, yeah. So, but once again, this is becoming yourself, reflecting upon yourself.
Right. Or having a friend reflect for you.
Got to be a good friend.
That
to step
actually
into,
truly loves
to step
you.
Into that tornado of rage.
Right.
And be like, I think you're wrong. Got to be a good friend and maybe one who's bigger than you.
I think I'm going to take this coffee cup across your head.
Yeah.
So perspective, like taking perspectives, understanding what the situation is, having a clear thoughts and reason of understanding, like, okay, why is it that he could possibly be mad?
Mm-hmm.
What angle is he taking to where he's coming to this conclusion? What is he truly upset about? A lot of times, the anger that someone has is the lack of love that he has for himself, or lack of love that he's, like, the desire to be loved that he's not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's angry that this guy is getting this attention or the love.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
And, so to be able to come to that perspective, to pull away, to see the kind of the bird's eye view of the situation and understand what is the motives, what is the situation, and come at it from a non-emotional, more analytical perspective.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then, like, avoiding escalations. You know, let me ask you this. When you get into situations where you realize, like, ooh, emotions are heating up in a conversation with people, like, what do you do? What do you do? How do you devoid, like, how do you,
yeah,
like...
I don't know. So, by nature, I am not an angry person. And I am opinionated, so I will get into, like...
Although, you have been pretty angry.
I've had angry moments, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, you've walked out of the studio before.
I'm not immune. Yeah, that's true. But that was ridiculous. And you know it. And it wasn't you, but it was ridiculous.
But you were avoiding escalation there.
Absolutely, yeah. There was a situation where there was a debate over something dumb. The thing we were talking about and debating with was dumb, but it was... Things were said that, in my opinion, we had reached an impasse. And I just got to the point where it's like, there is nothing good that can come from further of like this going on. So I just got up and left. It was what I had to do in that moment. And it's what I did. I think it was, even like as I reflect back on it, it was probably that it was the right thing to do.
It was a total Irish goodbye, too. It was like, I'm just walking out of here.
Yep. Things were said, and I said, okay. And I left.
I was like, and I was just sitting in there, I was like, oh, I think he just had to go pee.
You hear the door slam, and yeah. Outside. Oh, dude, he's gone.
Yeah. Yep, he got into his car. Yep, there's the headlights.
I just walked, it was like, this is back when we lived across the street, so I just walked across the street.
Yeah.
Which is way better. Driving angry, also something like good to avoid.
Right. So then delaying reactions and then cultivating humor. Those are the last two. So again, delaying the reactions. Let your emotions simmer. Let them like go down a little bit. So you have some clear rational thought.
Sometimes writing out, like, especially if it's if you're having an argument with a like close relationship, instead of saying what it is, like putting your feelings or your ideas on paper
mm-hmm.
really, really help to give them clarity and purpose. Because without sometimes a good vision of what it is you need to say to resolve a situation,
yeah.
That's when you get into some dire straits.
Yeah, because it's so hard to, when you're upset with somebody, it's so hard to take into consideration, like, this person is also a child of God.
Yeah.
That I'm supposed to love this person. Like, I'm supposed to love, this neighbor as myself. And that is not easy to do when you're mm-hmm. really upset with somebody.
Yeah. True. But also, as we've talked about before, growing in virtue, and like the more you advance in your relationship with Christ, especially if you're someone who, like, this anger is one of the things you struggle with, because everybody has something that they struggle with, then that will be the long-term solution, right? Because one of the reasons we get angry is because we have disordered passions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a list of things, and once again, I'm also not a psychologist, so I don't want to try to, like, name them all, but the more we can order our desires and the more we can have a right view of reality, which virtue helps us to do, the less we will be inclined to become passionate about situations, right?
Mm-hmm. Again, like, consider heavenly things.
Mm-hmm.
Because the odds are that the arguments that you get into in 3 years, in 1 year, is going to mean nothing. Much less...
I mean, after a year.
After that, yeah. It's going to mean nothing. Either way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is something else that I do that is helpful for me. And it's not even just about anger, but sometimes, like, things I'm stressed about. So this can be helpful mm-hmm. for a variety of things, is when something is bothering me, I will try to think about, at my judgment, how important is this going to be? This deadline, this fight, you know, like, is this really something that I need to put my foot down on? You know, like, is this something of a spiritual, you know, of that important that at my judgment, I'm going to say, you know what, I actually should have fought that battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, 99.9% of the time, the answer is no. It's not important. It's not the thing to, you know, be losing your peace over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just, it's memento mori, you know, just viewing things through those lenses of, at my judgment, is this going to matter? Through the end, right?
Right.
It really brings correct perspective to the situation.
Last one he said was cultivating humor. I don't know how to do this very well. So actually, there are times that I do know how to do it well, but it's not when I'm mad. It's when I'm in a group and I know two people are upset.
Yeah.
I can, like, really diffuse the situation with saying something ridiculous or having, you know, saying something funny to kind of calm the situation down. But I don't know how to do this when I'm the one mad. I can't be humorous and mad at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think that's... that's like, hey, when somebody... Yeah, if you're the one who's mad, I don't know, you'd have to be very funny.
Dude, is there a comedian that's like a rage comedian? Stand-up?
I don't know.
That would be
ridiculous.
Not
going to say no because I don't know.
Right. Anyway...
Seems weird.
I think, men, let's orient our minds towards heavenly realities while here on Earth. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. So I want to ask you this. Like,
oh, wow. I was like putting things up.
No. I want to ask you something about this. Because I think it's easy for people to get the vibes of what we're saying is like, oh, men shouldn't be, like, we need to suppress our passions.
No, I made it specifically said that emotions are a good thing.
Yes,
that our Lord
okay,
gave us.
Yeah, and so exactly. I just want to have that conversation about what we're not saying is that you need to, like,
suppress
everything.
Right.
It's because, you know,
we're not Stoics.
We have, men have a drive within them and a sense of justice that I think resonates particularly with men,
mm-hmm.
right? This is part of our nature. It's part of our vocation, is that it is the men who should rise up against injustice. So, you know, sometimes you see something, sometimes, like this is with your kids, they'll do something and it's like, look, you can't speak to an adult that way. You can't, you know, mm-hmm. like, how dare you behave that way at the table? You know, it's mm-hmm. it's not that I'm just, you know, you're so much mad at them, but the thing, their behavior.
Sure.
Is, you know, and it's like, causes that rise up. It's like, not in my house, you know.
Right.
So on the one hand, we are not saying, at least I'm not saying, and you're not saying, that men need to be less of that. It just needs to be ordered.
That there needs to be less of what?
Less passion. You know, that...
Oh, yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, we're not Stoics. Stoics, you know, says suppress all passion, all emotion.
Man, they must have been a fun group to hang out with.
Yeah, I bet they were, yeah. I bet they had killer barbecues.
Yeah, dude, I bet. Can you imagine, like, hanging out with the Stoics again? How was it? Fine. It was fine.
Jim broke his arm.
They told me it was fine.
He just stood there. No, because like we deny certain things for a greater good, right? We deny certain things, maybe suppress certain passions or certain desires
or fast
in charity, not just for the sake of denying it. It's not for its own sake. It's for the good and love of the other. And so that's the difference between, while I think that men, we can learn a lot from the Stoics, right? Like, and knowing that they also didn't have divine revelation.
Yeah,
and like,
no, the Stoics, there are many admirable things about them.
Right. You know, if you read Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, like there's some fantastic things in there. It's like, you're reading that and you're like, oh, I can't believe he's such a great Christian. And then you realize like, no, he actually was the one killing a bunch of Christians at that time. It's incredible. I cannot believe that he was doing that in writing these things.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's some really great things we can learn from the Stoics. But knowing that they did not have divine revelation and that their end was just to suppress for the emotions themselves,
mm-hmm.
to achieve, you know, ultimately their goal is, you know, to achieve virtue, to have this higher level of living, this living of excellence. Mm-hmm. But we know as Christians, like the thing in which that we're called to live, that this excellent living that they were constantly striving out for was just a little off, was just a little,
mm-hmm.
The path was just a little off compared to what our, you know, what we've been given and paved by Jesus, which is in love and in charity, that,
yeah.
That the cross is something of love. It's an opportunity. So yeah, I agree.
Very good.
All right. Bye.
Bye.